Welcome everyone to the post-round 21 edition of the Bombercast. Finally, after a win for the first time in what seems forever, I am your regular co-host, The Greaves, and with me is Bonta34, Bonta. It turns out all that melting last week was for nothing. Everything is fine. Nothing to see here. Am I right?
Well, that's been the big discussion point on the board this week, hasn't it? Because there has been some people that have suggested that potentially that the win has masked a few problems that we have. And look, we can talk about that in a minute. But let's just talk about the win for a bit here, Chris, because you're right, it has been a while. And the reality is, if you look at the scorecard there, we had 25 scoring shots to 19. So if you listen to the Hawks fans on the main board who told me that they lost round one because they couldn't kick straight and therefore they should have won by more, theoretically, we should have won this game by 6 goals.
I wouldn't go that far. I think
it's a very shallow analysis, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, I think Essendon, whichever one capitalised on their dominance better than Fremantle did is probably the best way I would put it. You know, Essendon had the running definitely in the last, as we see by that scoreline, but probably in the first quarter, at least the first 25 minutes of the game or so. Or at least the last 25 minutes, the first quarter. Like, Essendon had the running, and Fremantle built themselves a handy lead by three-quarter time. But I feel like Fremantle really controlled the game in the middle part, in the second and third quarter, but didn't quite put us away. And then really it was stoppage dominance in that last quarter that put us over the top, I feel. Like, we were just absolutely running over the top and out of the centre. We scored directly from centre bounce on at least 4 or 5 occasions, most notably the point that sealed it. But considering myself pretty evenly keeled, I'm not all that carried away by the result. It's a good win. I'm not sure it means we're going to make finals. I'm not sure what it means long term, but I suppose it's better than getting beat by a point.
I would just also say, for anybody that hasn't followed Jeff White on Twitter, you really should, because his analysis of the way we scored that last point from that centre bounce is actually really, really good. He does put a lot of work in. So that's obviously, of course, former Fremantle and Melbourne ruckman Jeff White. I would strongly suggest that if you have not followed him on Twitter, he's definitely one to follow. But one of the pleasing things for me about the game on Sunday was nothing went our way for large parts of it. So we did our usual trick. We came out fired up. We kicked 2 or 3 early goals, and then just nothing went our way. We just clearly didn't look like we were going to win. I mean, even halfway through the last quarter, the commentators, now I have seen the replay, but I actually listened to the last quarter live on the radio. And the commentators said when we went 25 points down that the players just looked flat. They said, well, the game's over because there's no energy out there. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, this energy just erupted. And I don't think you can pin it to one player. I don't know about you, but I think that there just seemed to be this fight back across the group, which was very pleasing to me.
Yeah, well, they had to, didn't they? So I mean,
we've been baked that often. Honestly, if they hadn't responded, this would make last week's meltcast look bloody timid. Well, it would be gone off my head right now.
Well, I think this is a good chance to beat Fremantle regardless. I did think we should have beaten St Kilda and Adelaide, but I think there are a few players that, you know, were involved in the capitulation of last year. And that was the big thing for me, was I wanted, and I talked to you about this last week and Darrow about this the week before. We capitulated into a heap last year. We lost by 1,000 points to GWS and then 10 goals to Collingwood in the last round. We didn't give a whelp. So whatever happened result-wise, we had to give a whelp. And that sounds ridiculous, but it's essentially, like, it sounds like the bare minimum. You should be doing it regardless, but we haven't in the past. And so it's not necessarily that we came back for one. What was important is that we came back. Even if we'd come back and come 5 points short or whatever, against a team like Fremantle, who are, you know, up until this weekend a top four team, although Sydney versus Port showed that doesn't really mean much if you get someone on the wrong or the right day.
Yeah, that's right.
Adelaide. They showed something. They showed some fight. Now, the pessimist would ask, where was that 2 weeks ago against Adelaide? And where was that last week against St Kilda? And where was that, you know, against, you know, Geelong when the umpiring wasn't going our way?
I'd actually still argue that we fought against Adelaide. I think we just got beaten on the day. I just think Adelaide just were better on the day. And I still think we fought that one, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I'm more thinking about in quarter, that 7 or 8 goal straight run. Like, if you're worth your salt, you don't get 8 goals straight kicked against you unless you, you know, unless you're a bottom four team in comp, then you do. And, you know, maybe that means we're a top four, a bottom four team in comp. But I don't want people to hear me and go, gee, Grizz is selfless, mate. We won by a point against a top four team. Get up. But, like, I'm trying not to get carried away because I don't know what it means. I'm really more interested. Because you have the St. Kilda game last week, you have this game this week. Sydney going, well, then what's our level? What's real? What isn't? And I suppose the next 3 weeks is when we're going to find out. But I think we should touch on some individual performances. The first guy I want to talk about was Darcy Parrish. Now, I don't think either of us baked him last week, but we did question the wisdom in bringing him straight in over a Ben Hobbs or an Elijah Sardis and a Will Setterfield. And you can still have that debate, I suppose. But he was immense on the weekend. And the great thing about Darcy, which, you know, he's been accused of stat padding at times, and he probably has at the time, but he had almost 500 metres gained. He had 8 score involvements. He was a clearance beast for it. I thought him and Dylan Shield, particularly in that final quarter, were massive in getting us over the top in centre clearance, which ultimately won us the game.
Yeah, you're right. I think Darcy definitely played a lot better, and he looked a lot better on the weekend. So the week before, I think we got upset because he just didn't look fit. And then this week, I don't know what happened, whether or not they brought him back a week too early. He literally just needed that extra week to get Cherry right, but he looked fit. He had his ball touch again. The thing is, so we can talk about individuals, I guess, as well, but what I want to say is what impressed me was how our midfield group worked together. So there's been a lot of concern. You know, when Darcy comes back, what does that mean for Caldwell? What does that mean for Sammy Darren? Because, you know, Darcy is that ball magnet. So Darcy had 34. Caldwell still managed to get his 32. Zach Merritt, I think, actually played a little bit behind the ball a little bit more with his 29. Mm-hmm. Darren had his 25. And then you mentioned Shield. He had 20 touches. Went 100% disposal efficiency, which I get the stats not, you know, it doesn't.
He's been
hit like Lace said every time. But that's still pretty bloody good to go 20 touches at 100%. So
seven clearances for Dylan Shield and a few absolute, sorry to cut you off, a few massive ones in that final quarter when we're on a run. Absolutely immense moments.
And then you add in the two ruckmen, and I actually thought that Draper and Bryan. So I think I read a few people wanting Bryan drop. I actually thought Draper and Bryan worked really well together. I thought it looked like an impressive ruck duo because Bryan is just that little bit more mobile. I mean, he's more mobile than Goldstein, and all due respect to Todd, he's not the elite athletic type, even his prime, let alone now when he's 35 years old. So he's a little bit more athletic. I think it released Draper a little bit. They seem to go 50-50 in the ruck, and from what I could tell, they did all right against what is a pretty impressive ruck duo. I mean, that Adelaide having Darcy and also Luke Jackson, who did spend a fair bit of time tailing poor old Nick Cox up forward.
Yeah, that was the sort of the downside, I suppose, of the Jackson matchup. But it's interesting because Draper played a huge amount of time in the ruck in the fourth quarter, and that's because we subbed Nick Bryan out, right? But I wonder if that was a tactic of if you ruck Sam Draper out for too long early in the game, he sort of gets gassed by the last quarter, whereas maybe the logic is if he shares 50-50 with Nick Bryan for the first three quarters or so, you sub Bryan off, you bring on the runner in Davey, and then Draper can just go balls to the wall in the final quarter in terms of rucking. He's still got, you know, gas in the tank to do it. I thought it worked well. It was a winning combination. I hope they go again with it this week, particularly against Gold Coast, and we'll get to the Gold Coast in a minute. They absolutely hounded us in clearances and around the ground when Bryan played last, which was against the Gold Coast, but he was sort of one out ruckman in that situation, so I don't think it's an analogous sort of circumstance. I just want to talk as well about Sammy Durham's role, because I thought Sammy Durham had obviously kicked the winning point. It was fantastic. We're all cheering.
But did you like Zach Merritt waving him forward? Zach Merritt running alongside him, he's waving those hands frantically. Just get closer.
Fantastic. Yeah, like
real emotion.
Yeah, I wonder. I reckon Sammy could have got a bit closer to kick the goal, but you know, in that situation, would you just rather the point? Is it easier for the other team to level it up out the centre clearance and kick go coast to coast? But
I'd rather a goal because it gets you. It means they have to score twice to beat you. Whereas
that's
I get the concept of the distance, and I understand that, but I think 35 seconds to go coast to coast is not impossible in AFL. So I'd much rather take the goal, back your midfield in to win, or at the very least, back your defenders in to not give away an easy shot on goal. That's just my take.
Yeah, but I sort of want to talk about Darren's role, because with Parrish and Shield coming into the team, he was sort of not as much midfield time as a pure centre clearance or stoppage on baller. And he was more
wing a bit, I thought.
Yeah, but he was almost a high half forward coming up as an extra at the stoppage. And I don't mind it for him, because we all know he's such a maniacal competitor. Like, in the air, on the ground, he's just a competitive beast. We've lacked some ground level grunt in the forward half at different points throughout this year. You know, I didn't mind as a role, and then he comes up at the stoppages, that extra guy to lay tackles and to get involved. We've got, Elijah Sardis and Ben Hobbs outside the team. Ideally, Shield might be moving on next year. Maybe you bring one of those guys in to replace Shield, or maybe you keep this mix if we keep Shield on board. Like, I don't know, but you're going to have to start fitting some of these guys elsewhere. And if Sammy Darren can play half forward, and we know Caldwell can do a few things, you talked about Merritt being behind the ball as well, and his ball skills would be helpful there. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how we start shaping this team around to try to fit all these guys in. And, Nick Martin and Sammy Durham is a high half forward. Nick Martin kicked 225. I really don't understand why we even bother with him as a defender anymore. Like, it's just so bleedingly obvious.
Well, I think the other thing about you got to keep in mind about Martin is we did sort of play him a little bit more forward this week, even before the last quarter, when we just threw caution to the wind and put him in the half forward, which is Brad Scott's one word at the moment. And what that meant was that Redmond was playing his traditional halfback flanker role, and lo and behold, he played his best game of the season. So, yeah, you just look at that stuff like that and you go, why don't we just do that all the time? Why are we trying to do this? And this is a point I've said before, and I've raised it on the board multiple times, and I actually said it about Jai Menzies as well, because, Jai does look a bit lost at the moment because we're playing him a lot higher than he did last year when he did so well. It just seems to be that this focus that we need to teach players' roles, rather than just let's just put them in a spot that their strengths are going to shine. And it's the easiest thing to do. And I get that that may mean that you end up with one-dimensional players, but if you get one-dimensional players, they're really good. I just don't understand this. Let's teach them a role. Before we move to the Gold Coast game, Grizz, I do want to ask you the elephant in the room question. You mentioned at the start, and it has something that's come up. Would a loss have been better for the Essendon Football Club where we're at right now? What are you? So look, let me give my take, and then I'll let you give yours. So I'll mention him because I know he's listening. So Mercurial 89 and I have had a discussion about this. He is of the opinion that a loss would have been better because the win does paper over some of the cracks. It does affect our draft position, and it does reward poor form. To be honest, he doesn't make a bad point. I don't think he makes a point that's wrong. The reality is I just don't agree with him. So I look at that and I say, well, it's better to get a win because it means that blokes like Caddy, it means blokes like Archie Roberts, all those young blokes, and even Caldwell and Durham and even Zach Merritt, for example, it means that they get this ability to know how to win when it's close. So you look at Collingwood, you look at Hawthorn when they were up and about, all these sides knew how to win when it was close, and you don't get that by dropping games. And the other part about the draft pick at the moment is this draft pick is only the difference between pick 8 and pick 10. And this seems to be from what we understand, a fairly level draft. So to me, that's not worth dropping a game. I don't think dropping a game for a draft pick in an even draft is worth it. If it was for Harley Reid and we were playing the Gold Coast in the last round, I would lose that game. I would not go out of my way to get our one win for the year over the Gold Coast to cost us Harley Reid, because that's just insane. And any club that does that is just complete nuffy central. Hello, North Melbourne. But that's my take. I just think at the end of the day, winning's better. I'm a football fan. I've been a player. I've been a coach. I've been all that sort of stuff. Reality is, I like winning. I always take a win over a loss. So that's probably feeds into it too. But what do you think? Because as I said, the points that Mercurial and others have raised, not wrong at all. They're perfectly valid points. The problem is the other side, my side, is also a valid point. So you've got these two sides of the coin, and you could probably pick it without. Yeah.
It's probably not great podcasting, but I tend to agree with your point of view. So I heard this discussion in a couple places. My view of it is this. At some point, Essendon has to stop thinking about the past and the future and just focus on what it's doing now. At this point in time, if we beat the Gold Coast Suns this week and then Carlton or the Bulldogs lose, and Carlton's playing a red-hot Hawthorn, we're in the eight with two rounds to go. I would rather see this team go balls to the wall, try and make finals. And it's not because I want to get, I think it'd be a great learning curve to get bundled out by 80 points in the first round if we have to play Port Adelaide and in Adelaide. I don't think it's, but at some point, Essendon has to stop thinking, oh, this will be good learnings for next year. Through next year, worry about now. You know, we were saying at the end of last year, oh, you know, this 1,000-point loss to GWS and this kind, it's gonna get them, you know, right up and going for 2024. They went to Arizona, they did all this stuff as a playing group. They're gearing up for 2024. Well, 2024 is now. Stop worrying about next year. Worry about this year. Worry about winning football games. They're a club that hasn't known how to win important football games for 20 bloody years. Might as well start doing it now. And if it's like you said, the difference between pick 7 and pick 10, I don't care. Look at the last 20 drafts and then look at picks 8 through 14. You will not get a lot of variance. You'll get hits and you'll get misses because in reality, in any draft, no matter how deep or even or shallow as people say, after you get past pick 4 or 5, it's a crapshoot. The dreaded pick 6 everyone talks about. Don't worry about draft picks. Don't worry about next year. Don't worry about, you know, is this good in the long term to make them sting? We should have been stinging from last year. So let's not sting from last year. Let's do something in the last 3 weeks. We've got Gold Coast in Melbourne. If we're worth our salt, we will beat a team that hasn't won in Melbourne for 18 games or hasn't won away from home, sorry, in 18 matches. All right? We play a Sydney team that just lost by 112 points. In Melbourne the week after that. And if we can win those two games, there's every chance we head up to Brisbane with our future in our hands. We win that, we make the finals. Maybe we lose and we just miss out. Maybe we lose that game and we make the finals anyway. I don't really care. What I care about is this football club caring about something other than, you know, next year or the past and worrying about trying to be the best team it can now. Now, you have to balance that. I don't want to go see, you know, Peter Wright and Dyson Heppel pick next week because over Archie Roberts and Nate Caddy because they're more serious senior players and they might have a lower level of variance in their good and bad. You still have to, you know, teach these young guys how to win. But I'm, you know, I'll stop my rant in a second, but I'm sick of hearing about, you know, this will put them in good stead for next year. That was last year for this year. Let's worry about this year when we are 2 points and a little bit of percentage out of, oh, well, percentage of relevance is a good draw. We're 2 points out of the eight.
Yeah, and the thing is, if we kicked five goals at the various game, five extra goals at various times over the year, we'd be top of the ladder.
Beat Adelaide in that crazy game. We're currently sixth.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't think we're a top four side. That's just my feeling. I don't think we're a top four side. And we've been critical of Brad Scott and his selections, and I'm still critical of Brad Scott and his selections. I do understand why he does it because, you know, you don't get that many opportunities to be a top four side. So when the opportunity presents itself, like it sort of did earlier in the year, you take after it. I just would have made the changes that he made for the Fremantle game after the Geelong game because then I would have gone, okay, we're clearly still way off the pace here because Geelong just belted us. Let's bring in the kids. Let's bring in the Archie Roberts, the Nick Bryans, the Jai Menzies. Let's at the Owen Davies. Let's give them an extended run and see what we've got here. And that's just where I would have changed things. But yeah, but let's talk Suns because you did just say they have not won in Melbourne for 18 games. So this is the classic Essendon game, isn't it? It is the game that we should win. We really, I mean, they just lost to West Coast, and West Coast in Perth are a different kettle of fish to, especially now they're getting their players back, then West Coast over here and all over, all that all aside, they're coming back off a Perth trip to go home to the Gold Coast to then come down and play us in Melbourne. We, as a football club, cannot lose this game if we want to pretend we're going to play finals this year. Forget the point that, you know, if we lose it, we're probably mathematically not going to be able to make it. if we don't win this, then we truly are not a top eight side. It is that simple. And I know that it is that simple because of ladder, but it's also just that simple in terms of mindset, really, because you cannot drop games like this.
Yeah, I think, in short, what you're saying is if we lose this game, we don't deserve to play finals, and we won't. So that's really the crux of it. The Suns are this weird enigma of a football team. Statistically, their profile doesn't really match up to anything. They play this high chaos and contested possession game, but they don't really play a lot of uncontested footy. And that what that does is it means when the ball's in contest, which they can do on a narrowish ground, on a ground that they know well in the Gold Coast, which can get a bit humid and the ball's slippery, it works well works in their favour. They absolutely pants us at clearance when we played them up at the Gold Coast. They're actually not that great at clearance generally, so it'll be interesting to see how we adjust to that. But ultimately, I would rather be playing them at the MCG, but we've got them at Marvel for obvious reasons. I think our ability to defend spread with hands, which has been our problem all season, putting pressure on the ball and not allowing quick transition, is just going to be key because that's how they like to play it. They like to spread and use contested possession chains to do it. But to summarize your point, if we're worth our salt at all, we win this game and we probably win it by 5 goals.
Now, obviously, Dersma's out, unfortunately. He's done his hamstring, so
that's a massive loss.
My two moves I'd make, and you can pick which one's best, Grizz, or you can come up with your own. My first one is you move Shield to a wing and you bring a Sardis or a Ben Hobbs into the midfield. My second move would be you'd move Sammy Durham to the wing and you'd bring probably Archie Perkins back to play that high half forward role that he played with aplomb earlier in the year before, again, we decided he needed to learn a role and we plonked him in the midfield to be the defensive midfielder, which just did not work at all.
Well, there's option C, which I don't think you've considered, but I think there's a realistic chance is we bring in Nick Hind.
Look, there is that possibility. I don't think Nick Hind's at our football club next year. So that's
I'm just thinking about there's a tie between what I'd like to see and what I think might happen. And I'm totally that balance. I think moving Nick Martin to a full-time wing is probably another way we do it. We've been rotating.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
We've been rotating Nick Cox and Harrison Jones on one wing. I think if you move Nick Martin to the other wing, that probably solves your problem. You keep Roberts and you keep Redmond behind the ball, and then you bring in a Perkins or maybe bring in Owen Davey to play a full game. I'll be bringing in someone over Jai Menzies regardless. I think he needs a spell in the VFL. I know Eth put up a really passionate defense of him, and I respect that, but he just hasn't been up to scratch the last month. And, you know, that's fine. Everyone goes through form slumps, but we have to pick guys who might be playing. This is left field, and we probably won't do this, but I'd love to see Tex Wanganeen come in as a running halfback wing. He's been in good touch of the VFL. Just see what you've got. Maybe see that, and then maybe...
Yeah, I think I said that earlier. I actually said that about Menzies. I said, we're going to drop Menzies. Because people are going, we'll drop Menzies and bring Hind in, and that'll be our forward pressure. And I'm going to drop Menzies. I'd probably just rather bring Tex in. And I get that it's not the forward line is not the role he's been playing.
But we're not asking
him to be that deep inside 50 small forward like we were last year when he struggled. We're still putting him up the ground a little bit. So I'd be happy bringing Tex in.
Or you can bring in Tex as a sub as your running option and bring Davey in as your full-time, as a full-game player in that forward half for Mendy. Like, that's the other alternative. Like, there are positional switches you can be doing, and then you bring in, so, you know, out Mendy and Davey, and then out, you know, Dersma, and maybe you bring in him, and then bring Wanganeen. I don't know what it is, but I would like to see us add some more running to our side.
I would also like to see Lewis Hayes in for Jaden Laverty.
We haven't touched on Jaden.
We won't jump on him too much because he's been shit on all week on the board. I like Jaden. I think he gives 150%. He's got he's had his struggles. His body's been rat shit. He's done really well to get where he is. He was just terrible on the weekend. Just absolutely horrid. And the argument so far has been we can't bring in Lewis Hayes because he will just give away too many goals. Well, I'm sorry, but Jaden gave away at least three on the weekend. You could probably make a case for more. be bringing, I would be giving him a spell. It's the kind of game where I just go, look, sorry, mate, you were that bad.
Yeah.
We're going to drop you and we're going to bring in a bloke. And look, he may not be as good as you right at this very second, but we're just going to see what we've got with him. That's just what I...
I would think we'd probably bring in Wiedemann before we bring in Hayes. Again, realistically, not what I would do, but realistically, it'd probably be Wiedemann before Hayes. But I see your point. Look, Laverty's that classic defender of he's good when the pressure upfield is good. When it's not, he looks horrific. And at times, he's also, you know, there was a point in time where he was a pretty good one-on-one defender, but he's not that now. So I don't know. I think he had a poor game of the weekend. He's had not a great month. So if you were to replace him, I get it. But then you're starting to get into three changes to a winning side. I just don't know.
Wrong with changes to a winning side. I don't know
if Scott's that guy, though. He hasn't been historically.
No, there's not. There's been a bit of a running joke on the board about, and I can't remember who said it originally that you can't make changes to a winning side. There's been that joke ever since. But the fact of the matter is you absolutely make changes to a winning side because no winning side is perfect. So you can do that. Even the Essendon over 2000 made changes. So,
But
look, my tip, I suppose, Grizz, look, I'll tip us with very little confidence. I did tip us against Fremantle, so I got that tip, which was nice. Sucked into everyone else on the board who didn't, and the board tipping, though I think I can't win now. I think Cupido's way too in front of us, or Cup of Job, or whatever he is. So, but I will tip us by, I'll say 5 goals, because you're right, it's the game we should win by 5 goals.
I'll tip us, but I'm not confident. I'm going to say 15 points. And I think it'll be a game that we win by the skin of our teeth, but I'm hoping I'm wrong. Well, Bonds, that's this week's edition done for this week. Thanks for joining me once again.
No worries, mate. Pleasure as always.
As always, thank you for listening, our beloved listeners. Please make sure that you tell your friends, specifically your Essendon supporting mates, about us. Like, subscribe, and we'll see you next week.